You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guests and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, 3MR Production, its ownership, management, or staff.
Baby, baby.
Here I go. Here I go. Okay, girl, what's my weakness?
Say what? No, she didn't. I'm Kim, little sister Martin. This is the Average Joe or the CEO. Heard exclusively on the world's greatest radio, TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio the way it should be heard. Truth be told. What does it take to make a movie? I am sure Spike Lee, John Singleton, Alan Hughes, Mario Van Peebles, Tyler Perry, and the other trailblazers who paved the way all asked that question. However, they moved way past the question and made the movies. Now the truth has been told.
This is what it is. What it is. What?
Right here in Columbus, Ohio, people are not only dreaming, but they're putting in the work. They're actually living their dream. In other words, they are no longer sleeping, thinking about what to do. They are up and doing it. Straight ahead to the big screen. This is what it is. This is Joe, our CEO. TalkTainmentRadio.com, the only on-demand radio you'll ever need, the world's greatest radio. You're in touch with your girl, K-I-M, Kim, little sister Martin, and this is the Average Joe or CEO, radio the way it should be heard. Today at the round table, I have a Hollywood star at the round table. I have Mr. Otis Winston. How you doing, Otis?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Hey, listen, you know what? You are a straight mover and a shaker. Like moving and shaking things around.
I'm trying.
So you know what? Just give me a little bit of background about what movies you've, as a matter of fact, you got an upcoming picture, right?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so tell me about some of the movies that you've been in up until this point.
Well, I've only done two movies so far.
Listen, y'all, he's humble, too. Ain't that something?
Hey, man, when you're trying to get, when this is your livelihood, you're trying to do more than two. You're trying to do two a year.
I've only done
two so far. But my first big break came with Oz the Great and Powerful. That came out in March, and it was a number one weekend go-getter, and you know, we did very well with that. And then this past June, I had a co-starring role in Think Like a Man 2 with Kevin Hart.
So, all right, so Think Like a Man 2.
Yeah, it comes out next June. I think it's June 8th, 2014.
So is it going to be funny? Is it going to be funnier than the last one?
It's hilarious.
Okay.
It's hilarious, seriously.
All right.
It's hilarious. We were clowning on set, so it was fun.
It was a good movie, good take, huh?
Yeah, it was.
Okay, wait a minute, because I'm looking at you, and, you know, for people who we have to have the eye vision on the radio, you a tall brother.
Yeah, I'm 6 foot six.
Six foot six. He kind of fit, like, some of the criteria that the ladies be. I need him 6 foot six, athletic build, basketball body. I think I had some ladies on my show say that. But behind all that is some serious brains.
It is.
It's some serious brains.
Well, I try, you know, because the thing about it is that my mom raised us to make sure that we were more than just a regular person. She used to tell me all the time, Otis, you got to work 10 times as hard just to be seen as average. And so that really instilled something in me.
That's deep. 10 times as hard just to be seen as average.
Yes.
Dang, that's prolific.
Yeah. And it's something that I carry with me. So every time I do something, I do it to the best of my ability. And now I got four little eyes is looking at me every single day.
Okay.
So what I don't accomplish or what I feel God tells me to do, and if I don't accomplish it, I think it's going to be tasked to my children. So I don't want my children to ever have to deal with something that I couldn't defeat.
Okay. That's deep. You see, listen, the average Joe be bringing it, bringing brothers with brawn and brain. You know, usually it's women. They be like, what's she look like? Okay, brawn and brain is in the studio. So you used to play basketball for Ohio State,
yes,
right?
Yes, I did.
So was that like, that your dream? Like, I'm going to be Ohio State Buckeye or what?
Well, everyone growing up in Ohio, you know, the Ohio State University is the place to be. So when I came there, you know, it was a lot on me. You know, I went from being the star in my town to sitting at the end of the bench, my freshman as well as my sophomore year. And then God blessed me. And come my junior year, I ended up becoming a starter. And that's why I keep telling people, it's not how you start, it's how you finish.
Mm-hmm.
It's not how you start, it's how you finish. And so I never allowed what I was facing at the beginning of my career to dictate what was going to happen at the end of my career. I just kept working and working and working because something inside me always tells me that I can make it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that small voice. It's like I feel that God is always telling us, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. But a lot of us give up on that baby that he placed in us, and we abort it too soon. And I don't want, I always want to pull things and take them to full term. So
That's
why I just keep going.
Okay. So you ended up being a captain.
Yes, I was the captain my senior year. I took a year off because I ran track as well.
Okay.
So my senior year, I qualified for the Olympic trials in Atlanta. So I went down there and I jumped down in Atlanta when Michael Johnson was blazing the track.
Uh-huh.
And then I came back the year later as a fifth year senior. And I was nominated by the players to be the captain of the Buckeyes. Me and one of my co-teammates at the time, his name was Damon Stringer.
Okay.
So Damon and I were the captains of the team and loved it.
Wow. So are you a Columbus native?
I live in Columbus. I actually live in Columbus right now. I do. And I'm also in L.A. So I try to be bi-coastal. L.A., I got to get out there because that's where it's happening. I got to do all the auditions. And then what I always tell people when I come back, I'm trying to bring Hollywood to Columbus. You know, even when I talk to Mary Coleman, I'm like, look, I'm trying to bring Hollywood to Columbus.
You're trying to bring L.A. right here.
I'm
Hollywood
to
right here
right
to
here,
Columbus.
Right here.
So tell me a little about you're a writer, too.
Yes, I am.
So what made you become interested in writing?
Man, I started writing when I was playing ball in Russia. I was overseas playing ball in Russia, and I'm in Russia. There's not that much to do in Russia, but I will say I loved it, and it gave me that solitude.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to get into my fortress of solitude, you know. And if anyone is a Superman fan like I am, the place where Clark Kent would go or Superman would go, where all his secrets were, was the fortress of solitude. And that became the name of the place in Russia to me, because that's where I discovered that I could write. And I was just keeping a journal.
Mm-hmm.
And that journal turned into my first screenplay called Game of Life. And it was based off my life. And then when I got back home from playing overseas, I just kept writing. And I realized that I had a gift for it. And I was creative.
Okay.
And I used my imagination as a kid because I wasn't, you know, that very confident young man. You know,
mm-hmm,
I had a speech impediment, so I stuttered until I was 11. So
okay.
I always stayed to myself. And my imagination would run wild when I was young. You know, our lives wasn't the best. You know, we grew up in the projects in Youngstown,
okay.
Ohio.
Okay.
So I would imagine I was somewhere else a lot, you know.
yeah.
And so that started to feed the creativity that was in me. It started when I was a young tyke, and then it just kept growing and growing and growing. And I didn't know it was developing me into this writer that I've become, and an actor and director.
So you're a writer, actor, and director.
Yes.
So tell me, what are some of the projects right now that you're involved in?
The projects I'm involved in right now, my first one is called School of Hard Knocks.
Okay.
It's an amazing show that we're bringing right here that we're going to be filming at Fort Hays High School right down the street.
You're going to be filming at Fort Hays?
We're going to be filming at
okay.
Fort Hays. So the auditions for that actually is this Thursday at Gahanna Lincoln High School in their library. So I got a great team around me. I got a great supporting cast. You know, I got people who are helping me. It's amazing what God will do when you step out. When you step out.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Because last year, November 23rd, I got laid off.
Okay.
And I was going to go and try to get another job. And I felt God saying, you know what? trust me and do what I told you to do. A year later, here I am about to start filming my very own high school hour-long drama that we're going to be pitching to the HBOs, the Showtimes, the ABCs, the NBCs, and trying to bring, like I said, not trying, we will bring Hollywood to Columbus.
You're going to bring Hollywood to Columbus. So what is it, the Hard Knocks, what is it about? Like, tell me a little bit, a little snippet about what it's about.
School of Hard Knocks is basically about two basketball rivals, Jefferson and Charleston, mm-hmm. and what ends up happening is Jefferson has beat Charleston every year for the past 3 years in a state championship game.
Okay.
Now, what happens to Jefferson is that from the crime and the graduation rate dropping and the kids dropping out of school, the school starts to lose a lot of finances.
Uh-huh.
And so the school starts dwindling. So the superintendent comes up with this bright idea. He wants to be the savior. So he comes in and says, you know what, I'm going to close Jefferson down and then we're going to bust the kids from Jefferson to Charleston. So he merges and consolidates the two schools. What he did not take into consideration that in doing this, he was merging different cultures, different societies, different backgrounds, people from one side of the track. And so School of Hard Knocks was developed. And it really came from like my life.
I was going to say, was that like an experience? Because here in Columbus, we had like the busing situation mm-hmm. where at first, you know, you could go to any school you wanted to go to. Then they decided to bus us around. So my home school would have been like Lyndon McKinley, mm-hmm. which it ended up being my home school. But they bused a lot of people from one side of Cleveland Avenue, those who know Columbus, to Northland
uh-huh.
that would have went to Lyndon McKinley.
I get that because I know the city very well. I've been here for a long time.
Yeah, so. You're honorary now.
Yeah, I know the city very well.
So did that happen in your schooling and during your time when you were in high school?
Didn't happen in my schooling. What I did was I grew up in Youngstown mm-hmm. and I went to an all black school in elementary school. I grew up was called Jefferson.
Oh.
It was Jefferson Elementary.
Jefferson Elementary exactly. In a black neighborhood, you don't say.
Exactly. In a black neighborhood that actually got tore down years back.
Okay.
So what happened was when I moved to Toronto, Ohio, it was all white school.
Okay.
So I went from being with a bunch of all black kids to being one of probably four of blacks in my class.
Wow.
So I got to learn the best of both worlds. And then coaching at New Albany, that just one day I was walking in and I just said, man, what if I came up with an idea where I take kids from the hood and merge them with kids from like the suburbs, like a New Albany or a real rich school. Uh-huh. How would that go over? And I just thought about all the different things that would happen. For example, it's so much that's going to go on within the show, and I don't want to tell too much about it,
mm-hmm.
but we got drama with the cheerleading squad from Charleston compared to the drill team from Jefferson.
Right, they're totally different.
Totally different. We got drama mm-hmm. from the teachers, because half the teachers from Jefferson comes and half the teachers from Charleston comes.
Ah.
So the teachers from Charleston think that they are better teachers because they have the books, they have the facilities, they mm-hmm. have all the different things that they have. Whereas the teachers from Jefferson, though, they had to be creative because they didn't have the books. You know, they didn't have the students who really wanted to learn all the time, but they had smart kids. So what it's going to be a merge of the two, where the teachers from Charleston are going to see that these kids from Jefferson aren't dumb. They're very bright.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's a misconception that kids in city schools aren't as bright as kids in suburban schools, but it's a misconception because we have bright kids everywhere.
Absolutely.
They just need to have the right proper tools to be taught certain things. And so when I started to create this, I wanted to bridge the gap with what our kids are actually facing every day. Being a high school coach, I see a lot.
I bet you do. You know, and speaking of that, seeing a lot, bullying is like a huge thing.
Huge.
Like, it's huge. You play sports, or you mm-hmm. used to play sports. So every time you turn on the television, you know, there's a situation with Incognito. But even to the degree where, you know, you see it in our high schools, kids are committing suicide.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Bullying has, I mean, I don't understand what happened.
Well, I believe what happened is when we were in school, we could escape bullying. We can come home. We ain't have Twitter. We ain't have Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't have Instagram. So we can escape it. They can't escape it right now. They come home and cyberbullying is even worse than regular bullying, because it's like everyone see it. The world is seeing you being picked on and they're chiming in, picking on you. So School of Hard Knocks is going to expose a lot of that. Mm-hmm. Because just like I told you earlier, you know, we got stuff that's going on in this world where we have parents so involved in housewives and love and hip hop that they're not recognizing their own drama that's going on underneath the roof.
Listen, let me tell you, you really have a good point with that, because just if you flip through the channels, like I was flipping through the channels mm-hmm. today mm-hmm. in the Bad Girls Club, right? And I don't understand the show. I'm sorry, I don't. So I said, let me just take a look at it for a minute, because I work with young people as well. And I like to know, what are y'all looking at? But this is a house full of young ladies fighting,
drinking, sex
with any and everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's almost like people like you with the talent, the real actors, we don't really get to see real acting anymore. Mm-hmm. It's like the reality show world has kind of taken over.
It's easy.
And people think that that's real life, but that is not real life.
The thing that I'm trying to do, a producer in LA asked me, why do I want to do this?
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, plain and simple, this is the reason I do what I do, is when I was growing up, the first real positive black male I saw was a guy by the name of Heathcliff Huxtable.
Wow. Your Cosby kid.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And when I saw Bill Cosby bring to life Heathcliff Huxtable, once a week I was Theo Huxtable. And it changed my life. And it made me realize that I can be a doctor mm-hmm. and I can marry a woman who's a lawyer.
All right.
And I can raise my kids to be respectful children.
Mm-hmm.
So when I started to write, a lot of my writing is positive.
Mm-hmm.
School of Hard Knocks, I'm exposing people to what their children are actually seeing. It's real life, but everything has a message.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Co-parents, it's a positive show about two parents who got divorced, come back together, and try to do the right thing in raising their children.
So wait a minute. Now, you skipped. Now, we was at Hard Knocks. You got another thing, co-parents, coming out?
I have. Yes, I do. I got a lot of things that I'm working on right now. But what I'm learning how to do is focus on one at a time.
One at a time.
And so School of Hard Knocks, there's nothing like it on TV right now.
It kind of, when you're talking about it, it reminds me of back in the day, they had after school specials.
Mm-hmm.
And each after school special had a serious meaning to
mm-hmm.
it. It was, you had to watch it.
A life lesson.
But inside of it, there was a life lesson.
Exactly. And that's why my characters in School of Hard Knocks, everyone would be able to relate to them. Mm-hmm. Everyone would be able to relate to them. You know, I have that Cherie, who's that chick from the black school who everyone think is just hard, but really inside, she's just a young girl who wants to be loved. And her mom, she tries to stay away from home because her mom's stay-in boyfriend is constantly trying to touch her.
Okay.
So she's trying to take her own independence and do what she wants to do. So it's a lot of touchy stuff that I want to touch on this show. One of the main characters, his name is Mr. J. He's a teacher. He's a white teacher, actually,
mm-hmm.
who was one of the favorites at Jefferson.
Okay.
Which is the
black school.
The black school.
Right.
And he was one of the favorites. And something happens to Mr. J. And it sets the town on fire because it really puts the two towns, the two cities or two schools against each other. So you just got to tune in to check it out, because it's so much that's going on in society that I'm going to deal with in this show. Like you said, with the bullying, with the different stuff that kids are experiencing. These teenagers are being exposed to too much life too soon.
Right. You know, there was a research study that I saw. I cannot remember where it was from, but by the time your child is five, they have seen murder at least 50 times on the television. So when they grow up, you know, and they kill somebody, you wonder why they're not attached. It's because they've seen it.
They've been desensitized.
Yes, completely, totally desensitized.
That's why bullying is so rampant. Because they don't know how to relate to another person's feelings. Why? Because people aren't relating to theirs. And what happens when we start relating to our children's feelings, our children get desensitized, and then they start being mean and they think that's the norm. No, that's not the norm. The norm is to care enough to help someone mm-hmm. in need. I mean, just think about it. There's this new thing going around in New Jersey called Knockout. these high school kids are walking around just seeing who they can knock out with one
just
punch.
Just knocking folks out.
Desensitized, man.
That's unbelievable.
It is.
Just like, listen, I just want to knock, I mean, for no reason. Not for tennis shoes, not for.
Just see if I can knock you out with one punch. So this is stuff I want my show to expose.
All right. The only on-demand radio you'll ever need. TalkTainmentRadio.com. That's radio the way it should be heard. The home of Brother K educating to liberate on Conversating the AM. Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Stay right there. We're going to find out who is knocking out who up next on TalkTainmentRadio.com. Beautiful lady, you.
That's all that I can do. Your eyes tell me to pursue, but you say look, yeah, but don't touch, baby. No, 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 don't touch. Who's that lady? Sexy lady.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out. When a life is saved. When heartbreak turns to hope. You're there through the American Red Cross. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
Do you dance badly or hug in public? That's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be the perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Our lives are affected every day by innovations from the minds of African Americans. Support the United Negro College Fund because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Visit UNCF.org or call 1-800-332-UNCF. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network.
And TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
Say what, what?
The world's greatest radio. This is your girl, Kim, K-I-M, keep it moving, Kim Little Sister, on the Average Joe or CEO. I'm at the round table with my guest, Mr. Otis Winston, the man who is making the moves, the actor, the producer, and movie maker. You may join in our conversation by calling 1-877-932-9766. Otis, you know, I had to, that Osley's was hot, wasn't it?
Man, I was like, okay, we want to keep talking and just get up and just start dancing. You know, that work to do. That's my theme right now.
That's your theme?
That's my work. I got work to do.
You know, listen, they don't even make music like that no more.
Nope.
You know what I'm saying? We about to break it down up in here.
Yeah.
But see, that's because you working.
I mean, the thing I'm learning is that you work now, play later.
Right.
You know, I'm trying to build a legacy for my children. So I'm telling everybody right now, seriously, I got work to do. I'm not trying to ignore you. I'm not trying to act like you're not important. I just got to finish this because I've never focused on me. I've always focused on others. Now I got to focus on me because me focusing on me dictates what happens to my children.
That's hot right there. See, you know, that song, look, that, now you're going to have to remember, you was on Average Joe on Talktainment Radio, and we turned you on to Work to Do, brought it back to you. Now that's your theme song.
That's my theme
he got
song.
Work to do. He sound like a public service announcement. I'm doing work. I ain't got time. Listen, don't try to hook up with me because I got work to do. I got work to do right now. I'm trying to make a way for me and my children.
You're trying to got work to do because, you know, when you get done working, then you can play and you can experience. And you, like I said, I want to build legacies. legacy. Mm-hmm. I want to build a legacy. I want to be able to have sit back one day and say, see my children's children's children benefit from what I did right now and what God is doing through me. Because we don't take that. I don't think we take that serious enough.
No, we don't.
We don't. We don't. I think we want to make money, be seen, roll into big cars. Me, I'm just trying to impact somebody's life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to touch somebody the way Mr. Cosby touched me, even if it's only one person. Even if it's only one person, if they look and say, you know what, I like what he's saying. I like how he's living his life. I like how he's trying to reach these kids. That's my goal. My goal is to touch one person, that I've done my job. I can sit and I can lay my head down at night and rest because I know I've done something right.
Well, see, that's what, you know, that's real right there. Because like you said, sometimes people do get caught up in the things, but the legacy is the things that when you're gone, people remember.
Yes.
You know, I always try to figure out what is it that people remember about you, or what is it that you remember the most about someone that you cared about? You know what you remember the most? The love that they shared.
Exactly.
So when you put your craft that you're putting and you put love into your project, then your project will always exude love and people will remember it. That's why you remember who Huxtable was.
Yeah, yeah. And I always tell people this, you know, in between your birth and your death, there's a dash. What is your dash going to say about you?
Yeah, this is true. And it's quick.
It is.
It's very quick.
It's very quick. Very quick.
So we were talking a little bit about like some of the things that you're going to be dealing with, mm-hmm. with this show on Hard Knocks. Are you going to be dealing with self-image?
Oh, yeah. All day. One of my main female characters, her name is Cherie. And then one of the girls who end up becoming real closer, her name is Irie. Irie's from Charleston. Cherie's from Jefferson. So in the consolidation, they don't like each other at first. And they come to find out that they have a lot in common. And you should never judge a book by its cover. Mm-hmm. And that's where we're dealing with this image thing, because people are looking at people kind of from the outside instead of from the inside out. It's almost like a shallow how thing going on.
Yeah.
I mean, we're falling in love with all these people who look good, but they're not good for you. And what I want to do on the show is I want to expose people to start looking at themselves,
mm-hmm.
start looking at yourself, because image starts with you.
Right, right.
It doesn't start with what's on television.
It's almost like when people say, you know, you ain't man, you ain't woman enough. How can I not be what I'm created to be?
Exactly.
But if you don't know that, like you said, if you don't look in the mirror and go, hey, I'm woman, I'm beautiful, everything about me, it's my things that people may call faults that make me original,
exactly.
That make me beautiful.
I was taught this. You have to teach somebody how to love you. And when I was taught that, I didn't understand it
mm-hmm.
when it was first taught to me. Now I understand that in order to teach somebody to have to love me,
I have to first love myself. Right.
Exactly.
You know, that's my closing line. I love that. You know, not to mention there's no one else in this world like you.
No, you're original.
I mean, that right there is, that says it all.
My DNA is my DNA.
Nobody else.
Nobody fingerprints match mine.
That is crazy. You know, that within itself ought to make you know you are something.
You're original.
You are, yeah.
We don't know how to tap in. We don't know how to tap into that energy that's within us. We do not know how to tap into that gift that God put into us at the beginning of the foundations of this world. He put a gift in us. He put a gift in us, and people don't know how to tap into it.
No.
So I'm learning how to tap into mine, because I want to be able to, like, put fingerprints on others.
On others, right.
So they can be like, okay, Otis been here. Otis touched them. You can tell. You can tell.
Yeah.
And until we do that, then what are you doing?
Right. You know, if you can change a life, that's huge.
Exactly.
That is huge. Okay, so Otis, let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
You said that you're going to be having some auditions.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about that. Like, what are you looking for? Extras or what?
We're looking for extras, but we're about to audition for the principal roles. We're auditioning for Principal Sheridan, Vice Principal Varkas, and then we got teacher roles like Mr. Bennett, Miss Pitts. And we also have students.
Mm-hmm.
We have Cherie, we have Irie, we have Lil Dude. So we have probably, I believe, 9 principal characters we're going to be casting for this Thursday at Gehenna Jefferson Lincoln Library.
Let me ask you this. What do you have to do to be a part of that?
Show up. 5 to 8. Show up 5 to 8. 5 to 8.
You gonna have a casting call? Like,
we're having a casting call 5 to 8. My crew, my production crew, that's Shalonda, and them been doing an amazing job. Her, my girl Tasha, they've been really, really doing things that nobody else have been doing when it comes to getting ready for Thursday. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a great staff around me. I just got good people around me.
It's a team. It's a team effort.
Yeah. I got good people around me. You know, I got people around me that's helping me that's not even in Columbus.
Okay.
You know, so God has blessed me with some angels. He has blessed me with some angels that looks out for me and make sure that stuff gets done. If I can't get it done here, it'll get done in Chicago, or it'll get done in Wisconsin. You know, God has been blessed me. And then I have angels that's in Columbus,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's been helping me. So it's just, I'm humbled. I'm humbled by what God is doing.
Right. So you live here and in L.A.?
Yes.
So when you're in L.A., what you doing when you're in L.A.?
Auditioning.
You're auditioning for parts?
Auditioning for parts, and I'm feeding the hungry every Wednesday. That's my favorite pastime in L.A.
Okay.
My girl Tiffany Rose has this foundation out there called We Feed the Hungry. Mm-hmm. And every Wednesday from 12 to 2, we go down on Skid Row, we feed the hungry. I love that. The first time I did it, I promise you, and I'm not ashamed to say it, walking back through Skid Row to my car, I was so emotional.
Mm-hmm.
Because you get to realize how blessed you are, and we take it for granted. And being out in L.A., it's not easy.
I know.
It's not easy. It's a dog-eat-dog world out there. I mean, I have stories when I come back. I mean, my kids don't know what I sacrifice to try to get this goal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not going to lie. The Pursuit of Happiness with Will Smith, that's my life.
That's real talk.
That's my life right now. I mean, I've mm-hmm. been running. I've been walking all over L.A. I've been running all over L.A. I've had to sleep in my car in L.A.
To
try to make it. So I've done that. Did mm-hmm. I ever think that I would have to do that? No. I've had to ask somebody for $5 so I can put gas in my tank just to make it to an audition. A stranger. Mm-hmm. A complete stranger. So these experiences have humbled me, and they've kept me hungry, and I'm paying it forward. You know, am I where I want to be? Absolutely not. But am I where I was last year? No,
and
I'm better.
Then you know what that means? You made a change. Because if you're in the same place that you were in last year,
that
means you ain't done nothing different.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
It's one thing to dream a dream, but it's a whole nother thing to get up and make it happen.
And keep moving.
Right. That's, you know, that's the key right there. And you said something to me earlier about some of the things that keep people from trying things is fear.
Yeah.
You know, I like to look at it. I heard it, you know, from a wise person that fear is false evidence appearing real.
Mm-hmm.
F-E-A-R. That makes sense. Because what you're afraid of is the unknown. So it's false. It's not true. So if you can just put those fears aside and step out, that'll make a big difference. So wait, I'm going to have to backtrack. How did you get to the audition for The Great and Wonderful Oz?
Man,
I mean, like, did you say, you know what? Woke up and said, I'm going to be an actor?
It wasn't even that. One of my friends told me about an audition for the auto show in Detroit.
Okay, so you just wanted to be by the cars.
No, they wanted me. They saw my picture. They like, come model for these cars. So
okay.
I came up. Like, I did my audition. While I was leaving the audition, a guy walked up to me and said, how tall are you? I said, 6'6". He looks at me and said, do you want to be in a movie?
It was just like that.
Just like that. And and I didn't know that the movie was going to be as big as it was. I was like, sure. He's like, send me your headshot. I sent him my headshot. 30 minutes later, I get a call from a casting director. His name's Chris. Chris was the extras casting director for Oz the Great and Powerful. And little did I know that God was setting me up to be set up.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I got on the set, I ended up going from being just a regular extra to leading, you know, I was the main guy for the Winkies. And people always laugh when they're like, you was a Winkie. Yeah, I was a Winkie.
You can say what you want.
I was the shortest Winkie. How about that? These some
right,
big
brothers. Right, I was a Winkie all the way to the bank.
Exactly.
Winkie. I was on the big screen.
And what happened was the choreographer of them, her name was Leslie. Leslie ended up noticing something in me. And Leslie started giving me opportunities, and I went from being in the middle of the line to the front of the line to out in front by myself leading.
Okay.
And then I ended up teaching everyone the choreography of the marching. And they just, you know, they was calling me the head winky, and it just, we went for it. And I went from getting regular extra pay to getting, you know, I had a speaking role. I got a speaking line, and then I had three stunt contracts out of it, you know, so God
bless me. So you a stunt man too?
I do my own stunts, man. I do my own stunts. The stunt coordinator, his name is Scott Rogers, an amazing guy. He's done The Bourne Identity. He's done the Spider-Mans. He's done Oz the Great Powerful. Scott is the man. He's the man. And he, you know, he ran track in college as well. He's a pole vaulter, and they had me doing stuff, all the stunts that the Winkies were doing, so I enjoyed it.
Okay, so let me tell you, your Rolodex just keeps increasing.
Yeah.
Okay, so you play basketball too.
Yes.
We established that. What did you take from that experience that you're using right now?
Discipline. You know, everyone, because there's so many, I see so many people out there right now that want to play ball. And I see people who never even played ball in college that think that want, I'm not going to even say think, they're dreaming about being in the NBA. And what basketball did is that it taught me how to reach for something, to make something that's a non-tangible into a tangible. Because here's a young man from the projects of Youngstown, Ohio, that ended up being a captain of the Ohio State University basketball team.
That's huge. That is so huge.
It is. And when I look back and I'm like, dang, how did I get there? But I got there because of work, and God blessed me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it taught me that if you believe in yourself and if you put in the work and not give up, the key word is not give up.
Okay.
It will happen, because a lot of us give up because so many people are trying it. You know, I mean, acting is harder than anything I've ever done in my life. Anything.
You actually have to become the person.
Not just that.
Emotionally. You have to metamorphosis. Yeah, that's
Except for if you think about it, not just that. Look how many people are trying to act. Everyone's trying to do it. And God gave me a revelation when I was out in L.A. last. He told me, look up at the Hollywood sign. I looked up at it. He said, you know how many people come to L.A. and actually see the sign? See, that's what they think acting and entertainment is. They can see the sign from anywhere in L.A. But to get up close and personal on that sign, there's an actual trail that you can walk to. You can walk the trail, but you got to go through the daggone rocks. You're going to be tired, you're going to be sweating, you're going to get dirty, and you're going to just have to put everything in you to get up that hill, get up close personal to that sign. He says that's what you have to do to make it in Hollywood, Otis. It's easy. Everyone looks at what people are doing on TV and it looks easy, but to get in, you got to put it in work. You have to put it in work, and it's not always about the work. Sometimes it's about who you know, how you present yourself to people that you know,
mm-hmm.
and just God just opening those doors. So basketball taught me not to give up. Basketball taught me, when I was sitting at the end of the bench at the Ohio State University, I could have easily transfer.
You could have slid off the bench.
I'm like, you know what? Let me transfer, man. This is for the birds. All my boys were playing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all my boys was playing. And then God opened up a door to the point to where I became a starter as a junior. Then I became a starter as a senior, as well as a captain.
Mm-hmm.
And that showed me that work, work, work. Don't stop. Don't stop. No matter how hard it gets, don't stop.
Okay. So, you know, when you talk about what it takes to do it, it does take a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
So if I wanted to become an actor, mm-hmm. I would probably need to take some classes.
You would have to take classes.
So people can't really just, okay, you know what? I'm really good. They said I was good at my school play. So
mm-hmm.
So here I am.
Every actor that I know is still taking classes. Denzel Washington still takes classes.
Mm-hmm.
Robert De Niro still takes classes. I mean, it's like a basketball player does what? He still practices. A football player still practice, but actors think that they can just go out, wait tables, and go into auditions and get it. No, you got to put in work into your craft. And me putting work into my craft is doing stuff like I'm doing this Thursday.
Right.
I'm auditioning people.
Uh-huh.
I learned the game from the inside out.
Okay.
From the inside out. I've been on the big screen. I've been on big sets. I mean, I'm one of my great best friend, she got me on the game on BET. I co-starred on that.
Okay.
And so I was able, that year when I was doing that, I was able to sit behind Salim and watch him work.
Mm-hmm.
And Mara, and watch them put the game together. And I'm like, oh man, this is amazing. You learn by sitting and watching, not trying to be seen, but sitting back and listening and learning.
Do you think that's probably why you got two ears, one mouth.
Mm-hmm. Listen more than you speak.
The only on-demand radio you'll ever need, TalkTainmentRadio.com. That's our address. We broadcast locally and worldly around the clock. Check us out on WCRS FM 98.3, Wednesday and Sunday evenings. Blogs and podcasts are available to download. TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or tablet, because we go where you go. Radio the way it should be heard. Stay right there. We're going to find out how much work we got to do. Up next on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
Every moment matters, and a hand reaches out. When a life is saved, when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
Do you dance badly or hug in public? That's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be the perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Our lives are affected every day by innovations from the minds of African Americans. Support the United Negro College Fund, because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Visit UNCF.org or call 1-800-332-UNCF. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network.
And TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
Say what? What?
Radio the way it should be heard, the world's greatest radio. This is your girl, Kim, little sister Martin, and we're on the Average Joe CEO. I'm here at the round table with the man who's doing all the work, Mr. Otis Wilson. He's my guest, and guess what? We're talking about what it takes to make a movie and bring Hollywood right here to the CO. You may join in our conversation by calling 1-877-932-9766. Okay, so you know what? This flashback. I don't know about you, Otis, but I like real music.
Yeah.
I
gotta stop playing that song. I'm about to get up here and just.
You're gonna start jamming right here, bust a move right here in the studio.
They ain't ready.
That's real music. See, you can do that to real music. I'm not saying anything about the auto tune. Yes, I am. There's nothing like hearing that piano. You know, those horns,
man.
Drums. There's nothing like a live band.
About to push this mic back and just.
You about to push the mic back and start doing some moves.
Miley Cyrus twerking.
Oh Lord, you gonna twerk? No. You can't twerk off of work to do.
Yes, you.
That, you know, no, you can't twerk off of that. You gotta have some. You know, that is not twerking
that's
music.
Funny. That's
that
funny.
That's when you lift your shoulders up. You put your shoulders back. You know.
Close your eyes.
Yeah, you know. That's good.
The head bob.
That's some good stuff right there. That's good stuff.
That's
you know.
It.
It might bring back some old moves. I don't know. You know, when dances really had names.
Exactly. Cabbage Patch.
Yeah, it might. I think you might have to go back a little. That's the Vanessa Williams version of work to do with the Cabbage Patch.
Oh, shoot, that's funny.
But the Isley Brothers happen to be one of my hottest bands. I love the Isleys.
Yeah.
That's when it used to be like 50 people on stage.
They partied.
50 people.
They partied.
Like, you know, everybody had a horn or something in their hand. They was doing something.
They had bands.
Now, you got 50 people on stage. They just screaming.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a whole nother. That's a whole.
Segment.
That's a whole nother show. Show. So, you know, I was reading a little bit about you, and, you know, one of the articles that I read, it was like, Hollywood's fresh face. And it says that you turned triumph or tragedy into triumph.
Yeah.
And I kind of read a little bit about that. But I just want you to, you know, I know it's your past, but, you know, in order for us to move forward, you know, I like to kind of bring that to the forefront. It looked like on one of the happiest days of your life, you heard some of the craziest news.
Yeah, it was crazy, actually. My first day on set of Oz the Great and Powerful. It was my first time on the movie set. And I was excited because I got promoted that day. I knew that I would be leading, you know, the other guys come tomorrow. And when I got off set, you know, I go to the car, my phone, you know, you turn your phone off set, you turn your phone on. And that's when I got the horrible news that one of my athletes, actually two of my athletes, actually one of them took the other one's life. And he had called me, and I had to rush back to Columbus. And when we got here, when he was trying to get to us, he got out the car and he got killed as well. So it was a rough time.
I can't even imagine. But when I read the article, it said something to the fact that you had all those messages. But in between all that, your daughter called you, who had no idea what was going on. But she said something real prolific.
Yeah, she just said that I don't want you to die. And soon she said that just changed how I was trying to handle the whole situation. And, mm-hmm. and now I just look back at it. And I'm like, you know, God is good. I miss them dearly. I still talk, especially to Lee's mom. Her mom is amazing. Her mom started an amazing foundation, and it's just she's getting voices out there because she doesn't want anyone else's children to suffer the way she had to suffer with losing her daughter. And I take my hat off to her because she's, like I said, she's an amazing woman to be able to live with that and forgive. Mm-hmm. You know, I applaud her. She's an amazing woman. She's an amazing woman.
Well, I mean, you seem to be pretty amazing yourself. I mean, okay, so you were on the game.
Yes.
What part did you play on the game?
I was.
What was you doing on the game? Was you at the parties acting crazy at the game?
No. Actually, I had this hat on when I was on the game. It's so funny. I was the director of the television show, The Pit Stop.
Oh.
I was Jason Pitt's director of the show.
Oh, wow.
So him and I had some dialogue about Malik getting mad and running out of the set, you know, which was pretty fun. And it was good. It was my first experience. It was crazy because these past 4 years have been nuts in my life, you know, and I went through some personal issues, man, that was real rough on me. And the day of what was crazy was the day of my divorce, I got the news that I was going to be on the game. So one door was closing
and another one opened up.
And so, I mean, when I got down there, man, I had my own trailer. It was crazy. I was like, man, God is good.
You was like, hey, I got my own spot.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, I can get used to this.
By the way, I'm single, but I ain't got time because I got work to do. I'm single, but I got work to do.
You got work to do. And the reason I have work to do is because when that time comes again, because I know that time is going to come when I do marry again, I want to make sure that it's done the right way. And, you know, because this next time will be the last time. And, mm-hmm. and I got to make sure that my queen is presented the proper king. And I can't be the proper king if I'm out here not doing what a king should do. And that's taking care of his palace and his throne.
All right. Well, so you building it right now.
Yes.
You're building it. Okay, so what would you tell someone who wanted to participate or become an actor?
I would tell them develop thick skin first and foremost, because the reason I always say that to people is that acting is one of the one jobs that you're always being told no and you're not good enough. Because if you don't get the part, guess what? You're being told no. And they're telling you you're not good enough for that part. You don't look the part. You don't act right for the part. You're just not good enough for that part. So you got to develop thick skin, because a lot of actors becomes tainted and bitter.
Oh, yeah.
Because they want to make it. They want to make it. They want to make it. But they don't make it. Mm-hmm. They don't make it. And like a guy just told me this weekend, is a great filmmaker. His name is Tove. He gave me some great advice. He was like, I've seen waiters who came out to Hollywood to pursue their dream, and 20 years later, they're still waiting those tables. And now there are bitter waiters pursuing their dreams that's bitter that they didn't make it. So I would say develop thick skin, and you always got to have faith.
Mm-hmm.
Always have faith. Always have faith. No matter, even if you can't see your hand in front of your face, you got to believe it's there.
Right.
That's what I do. It's my faith has always got me over.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that there's something in me that God is trying to get out of me. And if this is the direction he's telling me to go, then I'm going to go.
So in other words, you see something, you say, okay, that's it right there. That's where I'm supposed to be. That's my spot. That's me.
Yes.
You just claim it.
I claim it. But see, here's the thing. You're going to face obstacles getting there. See, God sometimes shows you the end before he shows you the in between. He always shows you the end.
Let me tell you, you always see the promise. You never see the problems.
Exactly.
Because if you saw the problems, you never make it to the promise. Because you'd be like, you know what? I don't think I want to do that.
If you saw the problems, you wouldn't even try to get to the promise.
You got that right. It'd be a wrap. You'd be like, you know what? I'm just going to sit right here in this chair.
But it's the problems that mold you to being the man you need to be before you get to the promise.
Yeah, because then when you get it, you know what to do with
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
You know what they say, a fool and his money soon part.
And
so you
got to
get some wisdom.
Yeah, and I always tell people, you know, it's my slogan for my company. You know, I always say focus. People understand that. But I always say never allow your talent to take you where your character can't keep you. And so many people don't realize that. They're getting somewhere and their character can't keep them where their talent has brought them.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says a man's gift shall make room for him and bring him before great men.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now if it makes room for you and bring you before great men, and if you don't have the character that your gift is in you is trying to bring out, what you gonna do? You're gonna fall back down.
Yeah, and hit your head hard.
Very hard.
Fall back. You know, we don't want to be falling back down.
I'm tired of falling back.
But you know what? I had a conversation with one of my friends, and they were saying, you know, I've passed the stages of crawling,
mm-hmm.
and I'm walking. As a matter of fact, I'm running now. So I can't do anything to put me back down on my knees to put me back at square one.
It's funny that you say that because I always tell my track kids this. It's about being comfortable. When you first start doing something, for example, my uncle always tell me, if you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. If you can't crawl, scoot, as long as you keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about my children. When I had children, my son, I tell people this all the time. My son, watching him be a boy, has taught me how to be a man.
Mm-hmm.
And what I say is this, when I watched him grow, when he first started to walk, he used to fall down and get up, fall down and get up,
mm-hmm.
fall down and get up. He became resilient. Now he's 9 years old. He don't even remember all the times he fell down just to learn how to walk. And
right.
what he's doing naturally was once a problem and hard for him. What happens with us, we don't want to go through the fall down period
mm-hmm.
to make what was once hard becomes natural.
Right. This is true.
If you think about Tyler Perry, look what he's doing now is natural.
Right.
He's the golden man. He's the man with the golden pin.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Now.
He doing everything. He big balling.
But it was hard at first.
Yeah, it was. He was homeless.
Exactly. Now look at it.
Now look. But see, people don't, you know, that's the thing that, you know, people don't realize a lot of times in order to get to where you want to be, you got to go through some stuff.
You have to.
Even when, you know, you grow up, like growing hurts.
It does.
It's pains.
It does. That's why I tell people, man, my Twitter followers, man, and IG, if people look at my Instagram, they see a glimpse into Otis Winston's life. My life consists of God, my children, me coaching, me pursuing my acting career, and me being a good man. You know,
you got a busy schedule, though.
I do, but.
And then in between that, you're going to be doing some auditions and, mm-hmm. you know, and you back and forth to L.A.,
uh-huh.
So, your schedule was like stacked.
It's always been busy. I was a two-sport athlete. I mean, I'm that kid. I'm that young man when I was at Ohio State that played a basketball game on Saturday, flew to Chicago Saturday night, drove to Champaign, Illinois on Sunday, won a Big Ten championship in high jump, got back in the car, came back to practice on Monday. That's what I do.
That's what you do.
That's what I do. I believe in that. I believe you take every opportunity you can right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'll rest when I'm dead. I'll rest when I close my eyes to go to sleep at night. I work when I'm up. I have to work.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I got work to do, man. I got work to do.
So you work hard.
I work hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Work
I mean,
hard, but, play hard.
But that's it. But that's how it goes. Because, you know, when your benefits come, then you appreciate it. It's always, I tell, you know, some of my students, when you graduate, mm-hmm. why you think everybody crying?
Yeah.
Because they know what it took for you to get there.
Yeah.
It wasn't just, hey, okay, I'll take that piece of paper and I'm good. It was a lot of things that you went through in order to get there.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about the auditions again. So you're taking anybody.
Anybody come Thursday, Gahanna Lincoln High School Library from 5 to 8. It's only from 5 to 8. We're going to get you in. We're going to get you out. We have 9 roles we're trying to fill. Now, those who don't get those 9 roles, I will still call back for extras because we need a lot of high school extras. It's a high school drama. We're going to be at Fort Hays High School knocking it down, man, setting it on fire, man, because we're getting Columbus ready. We're getting Columbus ready, and then when we get it done, I'll be back out of L.A. pitching it. You know, God has blessed me with some good people around me. Mm-hmm. You know, I hate name dropping. That's why I don't drop names. So he has blessed me with some good people.
So you ain't going to name drop? You ain't even going
to? I ain't little, even name drop. Just like, little, man,
can we get an initial?
My mentor has been in the business for over 30 years.
Okay.
And she has blessed me, and I know I can call on her whenever I need to. And then a young lady who I just met, who's in the business, she's been acting since she was, I think, 13. And uh-huh. And now she's into directing it. She's now helping guide me through this thing. And, you know, like I said, God just blessed me with good people in my life personally, as well as business wise.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm blessed where I am to be able to be doing what I'm doing. Like I said, come Saturday will be my year anniversary of being at this full time. And I'm still standing. I didn't cower and go back to a regular 9 to 5.
I stood the
test of time, and I'm believing what God is saying. And that's not easy. Like I said, I've been in a car, sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I've been asking someone for money. It humbled me, but now I'm at that place where I can see somebody and be like, hey, you look like you can now, Max. Why don't you come to my audition? My audition.
Isn't that crazy? Do you want to be in a movie? You're going to walk up to them like they did you.
Exactly.
How tall are you?
Exactly.
You want to be in a movie?
You want to be in a movie? Let me hear you
saying. Why don't you call me? Here, take my card.
Exactly.
You know, you just come on back up this way and be in my movie.
That's the thing. I want to bring opportunity to people in Columbus. I don't want them to have to go through what I went through.
But I think it's really cool how you want to do something here with the youth.
It's not just the youth, man.
But yeah, but the high school thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the high school thing and some of the stuff you said, the adults, I think it's just cool that you want to do something, period. That's bringing Columbus.
That's that coach in me, man. I love my track girls, man. I love them to death. They are my family.
Well, where are you coach at?
I'm the head coach at New Albany.
Okay.
New Albany.
Well, give them a shout out.
Always a shout out to my girls at New Albany. We're going to be killing it tomorrow in the weight room, so get ready. Y'all going to be tired. Coach O going to make y'all tired again. But I love that. And I just want to be able to continue to give.
Mm-hmm.
Continue to give. Because it's about giving. Give and you shall receive. Good measure.
Right.
Pressed down.
And shaking.
And that overflowing.
Right. Sure, overflow.
Man, give.
Get
into your bosom. Exactly.
Yeah, you know how it goes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. So you're going to be giving some of this stuff back. I think it's always cool to play it forward.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, especially when you talk about some of the objects and some of the topics that you're going to talk about. Being in New Albany, I know you hear them.
You guys aren't ready for what we're about to do. That's why I'm going after HBO or Showtime, because I want to be real with it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to deal with the real life issues that these kids are facing. I don't want it to be sugared down or watered down. I want it to be real.
I mean, because they really have some real stuff. I mean, I used to worry about what I'm going to wear, you know, whether or not they're going to have my fruit punch in the cafeteria.
Man.
I didn't worry about if I was going to lose my life headed to school, or if I was going to lose my life in school, or if something, you know, tragic was going to happen.
It's real. It's
that
real.
That kind of stuff.
It's real in these streets.
Yeah, it's real in these high school hallways.
It is. Because these kids are facing things that we didn't have to face.
Absolutely. I think you have a very valid point, and we as parents and adults in the community need to stand up and do something.
If you're not gonna, a closed mouth don't get fed, is mm-hmm. what I've always told. And I'm trying to be the change I want to see in the world.
I like that.
I'm trying to be the change I want to see in the world.
And
that's why I'm doing what I'm doing.
And that's cool. And you know what I say? This is what I say. If you can't be part of the solution, then daggone it, I may not even want to hear your suggestion.
Exactly.
Because anybody can suggest, but be a solution. Until next time, love yourself so you can love someone else. Deuces!
It's your thing. Do what you want to do. I can't tell you who to talk to. It's your thing. Do what you want to do.
Thank you for listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com on WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network.
And TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
Radio, the way it should be heard.